My name is Connor, and I will be your GM where or whenever you happen to be.
Howdy, everybody. My name is Cooper. I'm going to be playing the gnome Stenson Copperguts. Stenson, he's a family gnome who believes that home on the range is a gnome on the range, and he likes it that way.
Also, just a shout out to our Patreon here. If you guys are interested in other content from the world of Falterum, among other worlds, you guys are more than welcome to join us there for some extra storytelling. And thank you so much for our patrons who are already there. Steph Brody, and I understand that we have a new one, a new patron, Rescue Chopper. So thank you so much for joining us there as well. Really excited that you guys are enjoying what you hear and you want to join us for more there. So yeah, can't thank you guys enough once again. Also, just a quick shout out to Sirenscape for providing us amazing music sounds and ambience for our games both before and after recording. So, thanks again, Sirenscape, for all of your fantastic sound.
All right, well, I would probably be itching to get a move on, so I'd mosey over to Riv and kind of lightly give him a shake.
Right, you give him a bit of a shake, and he takes a moment and stretches, and then he comes to very abruptly and looks around wide-eyed as if he thought he was somewhere else. And then once he sees you, he kind of settles back down again and just takes a minute to adjust to where he is. He looks up at you, says, Sorry, Mr. Stenson. I was having a dream. It was a good one.
Well, I'm sorry to wake you, Riv, but I think we probably best be getting moving along here soon. People will be looking for us, and if we don't show up soon, well, I don't want to know what they'd think.
Think they'd be looking for me, too?
Possibly. I'm not sure who you know around here, but there's going to be patrols out for me. I'll bet Sheriff Rumplebums, I know, would be looking for me.
Okay. I'll try and stay in close. I'll follow your lead.
Absolutely. So, there's a lot of danger out there. I got to warn you. And I think we're going to go east. Now, you ever heard of the River Orcs?
His eyes go a little wide and his eyebrows go up at that. And just a bit of an excitement. He nods. He says, actually, I do. My mom, she taught us about all sorts of creatures and monsters of the world. But you think they're around here?
Well, yeah, they spend time in the river systems around here. But I gotta know, why are you so excited about these orcs? They're not nice beings, you know.
No, I've heard of them. They're like the colors of the bottoms of the rivers, and they hide. They're like amphibians. Maybe
that sounds about right. Likewise, I'm not sure what that word means.
I love it. Okay, he says, no, I've heard of them. I've never seen them.
Would I have ever seen them?
You have, actually. You saw them several years ago during that storm, I think.
I thought we didn't actually see any during that time.
I think you guys might have. Did you see them from afar, or maybe you didn't?
I don't remember that. I remember we went near the rivers and there was concern about them being there. But I think you said that if like they were there, we would have already been dead.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, so I think you've probably seen them before, but just at afar, like a very far distance, just, you know, not seeing the white of their eyes or anything like that.
Okay, so I'll describe, you know, my experiences with them to Riv and give them a bit of warning about how deadly I think they are.
So he says, so I'll stay close to you and I'll just keep away from the water.
Yeah, we're going to stay as far from the water as we can. We're going to move quiet and fast.
Okay.
Now, I think that we'll grab some grub here before we head out and we'll pack our bags and we'll move fast and quiet, right?
Okay. He nods and bites his lip.
Okay. I start gathering things and packing my bag.
I'll say that you guys managed to gather quite a bit of food, enough that if, you know, things did last another day or two out here, you guys would be well fed. I'm going to say that you guys also managed to pull out some various fabrics and cloths, which are stored down here, mostly as like containers, pouches, bags, sacks, things like that. But you guys are able to kind of cut and rip those where you need so that Rivere has at least some kind of clothing.
Okay. Right, and I imagine he would still have my jacket that I would have gave him the day before.
Yeah, I think he kind of fell asleep in that. But yeah, as you guys are kind of preparing down here, you guys get him all sort of situated with some sort of temporary apparel.
Okay. And then whenever he and I are ready, I guess I would encourage us to push on.
Sounds good. I'll say you guys take about 15 or 20 minutes to get yourselves all prepped and ready to go.
Okay.
Then you guys step out into what was once the meadow. Looking around, everything has been charred, and there's just there's, you know, that heavy smell of smoke in the air. It's like a campfire everywhere, almost so much that it's tough to breathe at points. But you guys are able to traverse the terrain. It's not too hot, it's not too hostile, but you guys are going to have to really watch out where you step, because there could be areas that are mostly ash that you could step through and burn yourself into the cold faces below.
Right. So remembering my accident the day before, I would be being as careful as I can to watch out for those.
Fair. Yes. And your leg is actually, it's still not great. You're full health, but you are wounded one at the moment. Or were you full health? I'm trying to remember. I know you had recovered some, but I don't think you were quite full.
I don't think I was full. Let me just check. I have it written down here. Okay, so after the long rest, I will get my level, which is 1, times my constitution modifier, which is +3. So I'll get 3 HP.
Oh, yes. Yes. But then, as you can see, once you
reach... He's a country boy.
Yes, he is a country boy. Once you were to reach level 3, you'd be getting 3 times 3 health. So you get 9, right?
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So
So I'm at 14 out of my 19 possible hit points.
14 out of your 19 possible hit points. And the other thing I'm going to get you to do for me is roll a fortitude save.
Right.
Because you're going to, and you'll know the result of this pretty quick.
Okay, that's not what you like to hear. 12.
Not great. Okay. The burn on your leg is not looking very nice today. So it looks like the blistering and the wounds, well, you had managed to quell a lot of the swelling and sort of repair a lot of the tissue with the healing. It looks as though part of the wound has festered slightly, and you didn't have a lot of inflammation last night, but this morning it's really quite inflamed and it's starting to look pretty red around the area. You're a little bit worried that infection is starting to set in.
Ooh, okay.
So you are now wounded one, infected one. Now, to explain a little bit about how this works for you, because the way the game essentially is going to work from here on out, you're going to be given an allotment of what we call grave points. And this is what tells you if you're dead or not. So your grave points will be equal to 3 plus your constitution modifier. So you'll have a total of 3 or 6 grave points to play with.
Okay.
If you ever have a number of like lethal or mortal conditions, if your mortal conditions ever add up to your total grave points, you die.
And do those mortal conditions, is that wounded and infected?
True. Those are both mortal conditions, wounded and infected.
Dying.
So now you're
dying as well, I assume?
Pardon?
Dying as well, I assume?
Dying as well, yes. And dying typically turns into wounded.
Like, oh,
so
okay.
Wounded is just a type of stabilized dying.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So when you have the dying condition, things are getting worse. Once you're wounded, things aren't getting worse unless you have to push yourself unnecessarily or you're careless with your wounds.
Are grave points something that is actually in Pathfinder 2E, or did you come up with this?
It's all homebrew stuff.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was like, I don't remember reading this. That's cool.
Okay, I'm glad you like it. So essentially the way this works is you would add your wounded and your infected values together. You're at 2 of your 6 grave points right now.
Not looking good. Okay, so I guess I'll be moving slowly and extra carefully, even more carefully than before.
All right, sounds good. So really taking your time on that leg. Riv can see that you're struggling as you guys try and clamber your way out of the dark cellar. And he finds himself under your arm, trying to help lift you up and give you a little bit of break on that leg there, so you can get some relief.
Okay.
It's quite helpful too. The boy is, whilst young, very tall, as he's a human, and he's strong for his age.
Would I still have that stick that I used as a crutch yesterday?
Yeah, I think you guys probably would have brought it into here, hey?
Okay, would I be able to continue to use that along the way?
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, you'll have the crutch on one side and Riv's on the other side, just trying to help you best he can.
Okay.
So you guys are going to start making your way through towards, you're going to sort of cut around the east side, just trying to avoid the vampire spiders as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then also press your way through a forest, which is recently burnt down. So I think there's going to be two roles involved here. The first one is going to be a perception check or a nature check, something along that line, to spot vampire spiders and make sure you're staying out of their ambush circles.
Okay. I'll be using perception, and that's a 19.
That sounds pretty good. And then the other thing I'll leave you up to, now you're going to also use some skill of some kind in order to get yourself through the forest here, whether you're using your brute strength to just very slowly move yourself through and avoid the hot pockets, or if you're going to be trying to lean a little bit more on your nimbleness, your dexterity, that kind of thing.
Would it be possible to use my knowledge of the forest through, say, a nature check to kind of know the routes?
Yes, I'll definitely give you that. Yeah, using your vast knowledge of nature to know what kind of things to look out for when it comes to hot pockets and problems post forest fire. Absolutely.
Great. That's going to be an 8.
An 8. So you guys are staying quite a ways away from the canopy that seems to be littered in those vampire spiders. The only thing you can really make out to kind of pin down where they are is it just kind of looks like the charred black corpses of the trees have like black bubbles coming out of them, about the size of medicine balls, a little bit bigger than that. So they kind of just look like sick, bubbly trees, essentially. So they're fairly easy to spot, and you guys are pretty good at staying over that threshold. Every once in a while, a vampire spider drops, but they jump the gun kind of thing. It'll drop and land like several feet from you guys, and then burn up in an ember or skitter away kind of thing.
Right. So I do have a hand crossbow on me too. If I do feel the need that I need to, you know, shoot one.
Oh, execute something that gets a little close kind of thing. That's fair.
Yeah.
So you guys are taking your time pushing through, and while you're keeping away from the vampire spiders, the forest floor here, where it was once a lot of brush and dead debris, it's now just it has become more of like a snowy kind of forest of ash. So it's kind of like gray snow everywhere. You guys have at least 8 inches of ash that you're trudging through. And as you guys are moving forward, a vampire spider drops from your left flank. It falls and hits the ground beside you. It startles you, and you sort of jump to the side, just trying to make sure you're out of its attack range. And as you do, you stumble a little bit. You fall forward as you trip on the ground, and an old root system from a stump kind of grabs onto your foot and throws you into the ground, and you feel immediately as sharp wood cuts into your leg, your wounded leg. and you let out a bit of a holler as Riv's like panicking, trying to help you back up to your feet, pointing to your legs. That's Mr. Stenson, sir. You're bleeding pretty bad.
Worry about me there, Riv. We just gotta get away from this vampire spider.
Okay. You guys pull yourselves away off to the side, and as you look down to your leg, you can feel warm liquid streaming down it, and then a rush of pain after the fall sets in. And as you're looking at your leg, you've ripped it up something gnarly, and there's quite a bit of dirt and soot. It's like the wound is dirty now, and you're gonna take another 8 points of damage.
Ooh, holy!
Sorry, actually 10. My bad. Ooh.
All right, and where is this vampire spider in relation to me?
It's about 20 feet off of you guys. It's sort of struggling around in the ash, trying to get back up onto its legs. It's kind of rolling around on its back shell.
Okay, would I be able to pull up my crossbow and try and pick it off while it's struggling?
Absolutely.
So I'm assuming I'm making an attacker, so it's going to be 15 to hit.
Okay, that hits.
Okay. That's going to be 4 damage.
Okay, you stick it with the bolt, and while it doesn't kill the creature, the bolt pierces straight through the lower part of its abdomen and burrows into the tree behind it. So now as the creature's trying to move itself around, it's actually been pinned to the tree. And it's just kind of stuck, infinitely moving its legs, trying to grab traction on an awkward angle. You expect it'll stay there.
All right. If it's safe around here, I think I'd like to pull the guitar off my back and start strumming a little tune to try and, regain my mental strength.
Okay. Sounds good. Is there anything you'd roll for that other than the health recovered?
No, I mean, I roll a d10 for the health recovered.
Okay, sounds good.
And I imagine this is sort of, it is using the song to reinforce your mind to not think about the wound.
Yeah, just to kind of get your mind off of it and keep yourself pressing on kind of thing, hey?
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good. So, yeah, go ahead and roll that die. What's your total health again, Coop?
I'm at 19. And I'm at 4. I just gained 9, so I'm up to 13 out of 19.
Nice.
Yeah, and then after that, I would try to press on again as carefully and as quietly as possible.
Okay, sounds good. So you guys take a few minutes just to sort of recuperate yourself. You play the song, and Riv seems to be quite captivated by it. He's very interested in whatever it is that you're doing with your magic. And after you cast the spell, you feel as though like your leg still definitely hurts, but you're able to stand up on it again and keep moving, keep pressing on. You guys are making your way along the edge of that vampire spider territory when you guys can start to see a clearing up ahead as the forest begins to thin and the fields of the Glimmering Steppe open up to you guys. But you, however, know that the Glimmering Steppe itself, the actual mineral deposits, which are why the steppe is named so, are actually much, much further. There's several days' travel past this point. So you wouldn't have any problems with gorgons or things like that. This is just sort of the beginning of the fields. As you travel, River speaks up. He says, you're really quite good on that guitar, Mr. Stenson.
Well, thank you there, Riv. I have been practicing it almost every day since I was a little boy. Well, you know, but I ain't nothing compared to my grandpappy there. Clement Bernier, like old Thigbaz, he taught me everything I know.
Wow. You guys have some cool names out here.
You do too, Riva. I like how it's all short and like.
Okay. He actually laughs at that. Once we get back to your home, they're going to be able to take care of your leg there, right? Right, mister?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be no problem at all. You know, Panagimstumps, we got all kinds of people. I'm sure I can find someone there.
Okay. It looks real bad, and I remember my mom, she was telling me a story about I had an uncle, and apparently he got bit by a dog, and I mean he was fine, but a few days later it took him, and I don't know, your wound just looks a little scary, mister. I just hope you're gonna be okay.
Well, you know, Riv, it feels a little scary too, but that's nothing for you to worry about. Don't you worry your head.
Okay. He just looks down and presses on with you.
How long do I think that is going to take back to get to the Happy Haystack Ranch? And am I actually worried about this?
You think,
like, should I be?
You think it's probably a few more hours. You guys will probably arrive there sometime around noon, you're hoping, as long as there aren't any other interruptions here.
Okay.
But after about an hour of pressing along this eastern side, you guys finally break free out into the fields, and you guys walk a little bit of ways away from the forest itself, or at least what was once the forest, and you guys find a small trail, which is a mix between an actual traveled trail and a bit of a game trail as well, which does head back up around the north side and then into Tumps.
Oh, great. I would jump on that and start going.
All right. Sounds good. So you guys hike another couple of hours here. I'm just going to get you to roll me a fortitude save here, Coop, just to see how your leg's doing.
It is a 13.
Yeah, your leg's hurting. You're going to take another 2 points of damage as you're moving along here over land.
All right.
Yeah, you can see that it's quite dirty. That fall was not good for it. And it's at this point, because burns get so excretion, like so much fluid builds up and you get a lot of like that kind of leakage happening. The wound was pretty wet when you went down. And so now all the dirt and the ash and everything in that forest is just kind of caked into the wound. You hope that you'll be able to overcome this infection.
Okay. Would it do me any good to, you know, try to dress it here with maybe some of the cloths that we found in the cellar?
You guys could try that, absolutely. Yeah, just to sort of, you'd probably have to clean it up a little bit first. I'll say that you guys probably do have a water skin or two on you that you pulled from the cellar. Water would be the more important thing right now. So you could take a moment to try and clean it up and dress it if you wanted, now that you guys are kind of out of the first problem here.
Yeah, Stens is not very adept at medicine, but he would definitely try to, you know, do something, clean it a bit, wrap it in some kind of cloth.
Sounds good. Riv notices you pulling out all the different things and trying to dress the wound. He says, "I don't mean to doubt you, Mister, but do you know what you're doing there with that dressing?"
Well, I'm not much of a medicine man, but I gotta try something, you know.
Yeah. If you want, my mom, she's shown me some basic things, and my brother too. Once I actually had to treat him. His leg. We went camping. Well, things got bad, but we made it out. There were orcs.
River orcs?
No, actually, I think Mom called them desert orcs. They sure didn't really live much in the desert. They live more underground in the mountains near it. Is it okay if I try? And he kind of reaches out towards the dressing.
Yeah, Riv, well, as I said, I'm no medicine man. If you think you know what you're doing, I'll let you go for it.
He nods. He takes the fabric and inspects it a little bit and grabs the water skin. And then he starts looking around the area. It takes him a little bit, but then he seems to notice one of the local plants. And he runs over, starts picking off the leaves from a plant that you've seen around the area before, but you've never really paid too much attention to. He says, this right here. You see this?
What you got there, Riv?
This, my mom says this one has, it's like an anti, fenestering property? No, it's supposed to help with infection. And he takes it and starts to sort of mash the leaves together between a couple of rocks and spreads it out into a salve onto the fabric. Then he takes the water skin and he cleans off your wound and soaks the fabric as well before wrapping it around your leg. There's a distinct stinging sensation as he wraps the bandage tight. But then the stinging kind of recedes and there's more of like a soothing action.
Ooh.
He looks at it and says, I think that'll help for now, but mister, I think you should see a doctor if you guys have one.
I'm assuming that we have a doctor in Panagim Stumps, is that true?
Absolutely, you would have a physician of some kind.
Okay. Yeah, don't you worry, I'll get it looked at as soon as we get back to safety. That feels a lot better there, Rio. Thank you kindly.
He nods. He says, I'm just happy to help. And I don't think I said anything yet, mister, but thank you for last night. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't showed up, and you did.
Oh, it's no problem at all. It's what any good father would do.
He nods. He says, you're a dad?
Oh, yeah, I got this. This not-so-tiny boy. He's got to be somewhere around your age. His name's Tim. He's a big one.
Wow, that's good. Is it just you and your son?
Oh, no. At the Happy Haystack Ranch. Oh, Riv, you're going to love it when you see it. There's my wife, Brandywine, the sweetest little honeymelon that ever did walk the plains. Then you got my brother and his family. You got, my dad and my, and my old grandpappy himself. Oh, they're going to love you, Riv. And you're going to love them.
That does sound a lot of fun, mister. I'm grateful that it was your family who's finding me here.
Well, I'm glad we found you too, Riv.
He just nods. You can tell things are starting to sink in for him now. He's starting to realize that he's up shit creek without a paddle and doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Okay.
So yeah, you can kind of see a change in Riv's demeanor now as things start to sink in. He's becoming a little bit more, intent, I suppose. That's it.
And what do you mean by that?
He seems to just starting to be gathering a direction, a wits. He's gathering his wits about him, and you can see that the cogs are turning. If that makes sense. He's had a distinctive change in demeanor ever since you guys made it out of the woods, and he dressed your wound. As if purposeful action has sort of just nudged purposeful thought.
What's on your mind there, Riv? It seems to be some thoughts in the back of your brain.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, Mr. Stenson. I think something big happened to me. I can't...
Well, the way you were talking about that Silver Sea, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it feels like something's changed. And I just don't know what to do about it, but I do know that my mom and brother would.
Sounds like we might need to find those folks at some point, but you know, we gotta take this one step at a time.
Yeah. You're right. Something my mom would say, actually.
Well, don't you worry. We'll find her, too.
Thank you, Mr. Stenson.
Oh, no problem, Riv. Let's keep going now, all right?
He just nods and presses on as he gives you a hand, and you guys continue making your way towards Tumps. On your way back to Tumps, you guys are nearing the outskirts of the town, the settlement. When up on the ridge just before you start moving into the farmlands of Tumps, you guys see a couple of riders, Crest. They're on ponies. And as they look down and see you, they start hollering back towards them. You catch over the commotion, someone's yelling for the sheriff.
they're yelling for the sheriff. Mm-hmm. Do I recognize these voices or sort of the outlines of the people at all?
Looks and sounds a lot like whatever guard's been mustered in the area. Riv looks too afraid. He says, are these friends of yours?
Well, I'm not quite sure who they are, but they look like guards around here.
Are these people sort of in the direction that we're headed anyways?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we might as well go up and see what's going on. I don't like the looks of it, though.
Riv just nods and follows your lead. The two horsemen sort of careen off for a second, and then they come back with a few more men. There's four horsemen up top now. One of them dismounts their horse and gets on another as the other three leave. And then there's just one horseman on the top with a lone horse, no rider. And they ride down the hill towards you guys.
Oh, okay.
As they get closer, you recognize that the rider on this pony is no one other than the sheriff. Sheriff Rumpelbuns.
Sheriff Rumpelbuns?
Got it. Call out to him.
Sheriff! Sheriff Rumpelbuns! Over here!
Stinson, that you?
Oh, Sheriff, it just dills my pickle to see you around here. What are you doing?
Jesus, Stinson, what the hell happened to you? What's wrong with your leg? What the hell's going on?
Oh. I've been through hell in a handbasket there, Sheriff, but geez, I've been in rough shape. I found this boy. This here's Riv. Yeah. Riv is a sheriff, but yeah, it's not looking good. You got anybody here that could help out my leg?
Jesus. Well, yeah, I can see that from here that, Jesus, were you stepping a campfire? Oh, well.
Hey, you know that's that fire that raged through the forest there? Yeah, got caught up in that. Got my leg.
Oh, what in the hell brought you out there? What possessed you to go running into the forest?
Well, you know, I was having a quiet, lovely evening with my wife, Brandywine, there, and I saw all these meteorites. Did you see it? It hit the crumbling shelf and bits went everywhere.
Old damn talk we can all hear about back in town here. Common folk won't stop about it.
Well, you know, it landed right by the happy haystack, and I heard this voice, this child calling out, and you know, I can't just let that go. So I ran into the forest trying to find it, and I found Riv out there.
Oh, shit. You're a good man, you hear? Now...
I do what I can, Sheriff.
I know, Stens. I appreciate everything you and your family has done for Tums. Which is why I need to be real serious with you right about now. As he dismounts the pony. He's here. Let me help you. Let me help you up onto your mount.
He's helping me up onto the pony?
Yeah, just kind of looking at your leg.
Okay.
And as you, do you...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you let him help you up on the horse? Or the pony?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds
good. I was going to say, yeah. Well, what do you think, Sheriff? How's it look?
Okay, he brings you around. He's like, boy, over here, give me a hand. Lifting old Stenson here. And Riv listens and comes around. You guys, with quite a bit of effort, get you up onto the pony. You can't really, like, move the leg the way you want it to. You got to kind of keep it straight to avoid pain. So it's a bit of grimacing and wincing getting up onto the mount. But once you're there, it's fine. So as you know, this is all the town's talking about right now, whatever the hell just happened. Now, I can...
Well, yeah.
Trying to do my best to quell rumors, but it's like a bigger wildfire than out south here, as he gestures to the forest fire that's been scorched, or to the forest that's been scorched. And there's one other weird thing, Stenson, as he climbs back up onto his pony and takes Riv up on, and you guys get moving slowly towards Tumps. Says, not long. Not much had passed this morning before a curious individual showed up here in the Quiet Rise. And,
What kind of individuals were you talking about?
Well, and that's just it. I ain't never seen no folk like this before. Comes in, human, I think. Tall enough to be one, at least. Wearing all black. No identifying colors, nothing to say he's from this way or that way, but... Judging on his movements and his general cold demeanor, I'd say he's maybe from the south, talking like Commonwealth folk.
And what did he do? Why was he here?
Well, he's here.
That's not like visitors come around these parts.
Not at all. I agree with you there, Stinson. But what worries me here is, well, folk can't shut up about the goddamn event last night. And this individual seems awful curious about what landed here. Aims to seize whatever's going on. Not much I'm certain of. And if this boy, who kind of looks to Riv, connected in any way, well, let's just say I fear for his well-being should this gentleman take him off our hands. See what I'm saying here, Stinson?
You mean that gentleman's looking for something or someone around here?
I think whoever's in charge of him, whoever's telling him to be here, won't be happy if he goes back empty-handed. And it strikes me that these aren't the kind of folk who would be below bringing back a child like this. Riv, you can see he's tuning into the conversation and seems quite alert and alarmed. Now, I don't think your family needs to be putting themselves in any more danger than they've already been. And God, I'd hate to see Brandywine. She's going to be awful upset with your leg alone, never mention whatever the hell's going on here. But I just figured all the same that you should be aware of things before you go walking into town here.
What you think, Riv? You ever heard of this Hugh man dressed in all black?
Riv shakes his head, purses his lips. His eyes are wide. He's definitely frightened. He says, I don't know why they'd want me. I'm just a kid.
And you think this man in black, Sheriff, you think he's looking for this boy here?
Well, I think that they're looking for whatever caused this meteorite or some kind of... I think he's here to try and grab something from it. From whatever event just happened, this guy goes back empty-handed. We're going to be in trouble. So he's going to be looking for anything peculiar about bring back to his boss. Would be my guess, and there's nothing more peculiar than a lone, naked human boy falling out of the sky. I just think you should be careful.
You're right about that. And I'd like to kind of put my arm around Sheriff Rumble, kind of lead him a little bit away from Riv, and talk in a little bit more of a hushed voice and say, well, Sheriff, there was another thing on south. There was a bit of a meteorite bit, and underneath it was a puddle of gore. Looked like it got something kind of got squished in there. I don't know what it is, but awfully suspicious there too.
Well, ain't none of this is good news, Stinson. Now, you just let me know what you need me to say to this individual, and I'll say it. But, rightly seems to me that you'll be wanting to talk to your family, seeing as how you guys were closest to the event. Now, I'm just not so sure that, I'm just worried, that's all.
What do you think we should do here? Like, I can't just give up this boy here just to some terrible fate. What do you think we should do about it?
Well, there's a couple options, I suppose. Now, I wish I could leave my post and do this for you, but I'm going to need to be in here in Tumps, you see. Between the havoc and the chaos of this event, the way that it's stirring folks up, there's bound to be trouble. I'm going to be trying to preserve the peace for months to come, would be my guess. But there's a couple options, see. You could maybe push east across the Glimmering Step, see if you could make it to the capital of Falcassium. Probably be mage folk there that'd take them in. They'd definitely give them a place. But that's a long haul. Winter is just around the bend. I'd hate to see you and this child get lost out in the middle of the fields in the winter there. It's a good way to die. The only other option would be maybe sneak around, push west. Perhaps the monks up at the abbey would take him. That's a bit of a bigger hike, but it's a shorter distance.
Which abbey you talking about there, Sheriff?
Monastery just up above the Cumberland Shelf there. Say that they've got monks of all different kinds up there. Commonwealth folk, Faltaden folk, ranging from dwarves to elves. Some kind of community where all are welcome as long as they're peaceful. Now, I know that won't be no trouble for you, and this boy doesn't look like he's much of a trouble causer. Maybe I reckon that's your best bet, but then again, I also know that Brandywine won't be too happy to see you leaving on one of them adventures again. She don't like you playing no hero there, Stenson.
Well, you know, I ain't no hero there, Sheriff. Yeah. I gotta know, though, do you think that those vampire spiders up on the Crumlin Step are gonna be too much of a problem for me and a boy?
Yeah, I recommend going around that. See here. Now, I know you haven't done much moving around the Quiet Rise, but from what I could tell, there's actually a fairly safe way up the Abbey. It's a little bit roundabout, but like I said, safe. You can push all the way to the ocean on the western reaches of the Quiet Rise. There's actually a path that links around the side of that plateau and then takes a path going straight up. Now, it can be mighty dangerous in the winter once again, but it should only take you guys a few weeks to get to the Abbey, and winter should just be setting in by then. And if anybody knows what to do with a boy here that's fallen out of the sky with meteorites, it would probably be them.
You might be right there, Sheriff. Well, you know I can't just give up this boy. That would be a move lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, and that's just not me.
I understand, Stenson. You just be real careful now. You let me know what you want me to do here, but a little worried you bring that boy into town, there'll be talk, and if there's talk, this individual might find you guys before you even know he's around. He's a sneaky sort. Seems to have his fingers in all the pies before he even showed up.
Well, I think I don't really have much of a choice then. But, you know, I don't think I can make the journey with my leg in the condition it is. It seems awfully far, and I'm in a lot of pain. Do any of your men here know any medicine?
Well, nothing much beyond basic first aid, but you'd be able to hold on for another day or two. You just keep pushing northwest. There's a smaller settlement. I've got a cousin there who knows a good physician. He'd be able to see you through. But I worry about you coming into Tumstown. I can deflect and dodge and say whatever you need me to say. But I'm worried about this stranger. I don't like the look of him, and I don't like the feeling.
I think you're right. Now, this physician you know in that town up in the north, what's that physician's name?
Oh, yeah.
Will I know him when I see him?
Well, you might. His name's Banksy. Now, he's an older fella. Big beard, long gray hair kind of thing. If you don't recognize him, the folk around the settlement will. You just go asking about and they'll be sure to set you straight. Now, he's a wee bit eccentric, but his heart is in the good place. So you just try and see past what's up front and I'm sure you'll do just fine.
Well, that's good to know there, Sheriff. But, well, I gotta say, things are even worse than they look. It's not just my leg. You know, I had a bit of a run-in with a vampire spider, and, well, you know as well as I do what they can do, and yeah, I got injected in my shoulder there. I don't know if they left anything, but I'm concerned.
Okay, well, now, fuck. You best watch that sight now you hear. Keep an eye on that. That's, well, I guess the good news is if the wound kills you, at least you won't be able to feed whatever might be growing in your shoulder. Now, of course, you know I mean that in all non-sincerity. But, you make it to this settlement, Banksy, he should be able to extract that if there is anything. God, I hope there's not. But before you see any problems with that injection site, you'll make it to the town, right? Unless something goes right haywire, which I don't think it will. At least I hope it will.
All right, well, I guess I'll see what Banks can do for my leg and my shoulder there, too. But
Yeah, I guess I should head over right away. I don't want this fellow in black following me.
No, I would agree with that. And the longer you stay here, better chance he picks up your trail. And I don't like the way that he picks up trails. I gotta say, Stenson, it's unnatural. There's something about him, I don't like it.
Well, Sheriff, I got a bit of a plan, but you might not like it.
Well, it's probably better than anything I got. Here, shoot.
And I take off my Stetson hat and I hand it to him. I say, "Now, Sheriff, I'm gonna get you to take this hat. I need you to toss it in the fire. I'll get it all charred up and burnt, okay? And I need you to take it back to Tump's and tell the town folks and tell this man that you found it out in the forest, charred and burnt. And I didn't make it. You gotta, though. You gotta tell Brandywine it's not true. You gotta tell her what's really going on. Her heart will be broken. She'll never forgive me for that. You gotta tell her the truth and lie to everybody else."
I understand. You have my word.
Thank you, Sheriff. You're a good friend. I'll miss you.
Anytime, Stenson. You know you try and send word back, you hear? If anything goes wrong out there, things change, you send us a letter. We'll be sure to help you in any way we can, and I'll look after your boy and your girl while you're gone, okay? Make sure that they're all right.
I appreciate that. Make sure that everything at the ranch stays mighty fine as it ever was.
It's really no trouble. If it weren't for you, Stenson, that'd still just be Rumple Buns. They wouldn't be thinking of me as no proper sheriff. It wasn't until
you... Oh, nothing wrong with being a Rumple Bun. They're as delicious as anything I ever tasted.
You are right. Your parents do know how to bake, if one thing, but I'm just saying thank you. People take me serious around here now that, after our old venture over them years back. Kind of changed the lens that people had for me. And I just want to say I appreciate it.
Oh, anything for you, Sheriff. You know, me and you go back so far. Oof, nobody in the world I'm closer than.
I know, and you know I've always got your back. So you be quick now. You take that boy, and he points over. Because you guys are sort of dismounted from the ponies from now, and you guys are just kind of talking off to the side. Riv's just kind of hanging out on the pony, you know, interacting with him, looking around, just trying to distract himself. Is you take that there, boy, and you get the hell around Tumps. You don't look back for nothing. You make sure things go well here, and as long as things go just fine on your end, I'm sure I'll see you. I'm sure I'll see you back home in no time.
It'll be just like tomorrow when I show up. Now, before I go, I gotta ask. You guys got any spare sets of clothes or something I can give to this boy?
Looks at you, says, not on me right now, but tell you what, I'll go and talk to the people I need to talk to in Tumps, and I'll get what needs to be sorted done for you. And when I go talk to your wife, I'll see to it about maybe grabbing an extra pair of your old boy Tim's clothes. I'm sure he'll fit this gentleman just fine.
Bet you're right. I mean, he's pretty big for a gnome, but that human over there mighty big compared to me.
Oh, absolutely. So now, you circle round wide now, you hear. Once you get to the far north end reaches of the Tumps, you just take a little seat, find yourself a spot, and I'll be out in a couple hours once I finish what I gotta do.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. You're a good friend.
Anytime, Stenson. You know. You're like a brother to me.
You are my brother, Sheriff. Best one I ever had.
He nods, tips his hat. Says, "Now you guys be safe, you hear? I'll go do what I need to do with this hat." He holds it up. "I'll be back around in a few hours. You guys ride hard. I don't want you getting caught by no mysterious stranger in our parts."
Oh, yes. Is the Sheriff leaving one of the ponies?
Yes, for you guys.
Okay, cool. Could I also ask him to bring Mr. Darcy? Like, I can potentially swap out the pony.
Oh, yeah. He says, absolutely. He'll make sure. He says he'll swap out his horse once he gets to Brandywine's. And then he'll ride Mr. Darcy out the other way of Tumps when you guys sort of circle around and meet him.
All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff. I mean, this beast you brought me here is lovely, but Mr. Darcy, he runs like a lightning, like a slow-moving lightning.
Yeah, you got that right now. I still never forget that story Catriel told us about her trying to wrangle that thing up in the northern steps. Sounds like it's a hell of a steed.
Best one I ever seen.
Indeed. Now, you boys get riding here now. We don't want to be caught here talking longer than we need to.
All right. See you, Sheriff.
He tips his hat, and with that, he pushes into Tumps while you guys circle, now moving westward, actually, and sort of more south to try and curve around the outskirts of Tumps and essentially move closer to where the crumbling shelf is and the actual bluffs that move up to the plateau. You guys just try and hug that side of the geography a little bit more, moving through sparsely populated trees and foothills. And you guys ride for a few more hours now. Your wound's starting to actually, even now that you guys are riding into the day a little bit more and Ribs kind of touched it up, there's, like, you feel like the inflammation's gone down quite a bit. It feels a lot better.
Oh, perfect.
But you guys ride for another few hours yet. It's probably now mid-afternoon, something like 1500 hours or 3 p.m. And you and Riv are just waiting outside of Tumps, just behind a tree and a few large boulders clustered around it. And it's at this time that you see a rider crest over the hill from the southeast where Tumps is located. And that rider is mounted on a white pony of very majestic quality.
Ooh, do I recognize this pony?
You recognize the body language of that pony. That's your boy.
Ooh,
oh, Mr. Darcy. All right.
Here he comes.
So the sheriff rides out and around, actually, first, making sure he's not followed, and actually comes around from the other side. And now he's just sort of calling out under his breath a little bit, saying, boy, Mr. Copperguts, boys in the area. Can see he's.
I'll step out into sort of a clearing and.
Sheriff, over here. Oh,
there you are. As he rides over, you can see he's carrying an extra backpack. Or just a backpack that he wasn't carrying before. Since you boys made out all right here, how's the leg, Stenson?
Oh, it's actually feeling a little bit better. It's, this boy Riv here, he knows a few things more than I did when I was his age.
Well, glad to hear that he'll be an asset on the road, at least. Now, boy, you. Careful, take care, and listen to everything this Mr. Coppergut says now. He'll get you through whatever it is that you found yourself stuck in the middle of, but you just gotta listen to him, do what he says, the moment he says it. You hear now? Riff just nods in agreeance. The sheriff looks back to you now. Takes off the backpack and hands it to you. He says, there should be enough in there to keep you boys warm and rested. Fed and watered, at least until you get to the settlement where you meet up with Banksy there, the physician. And once you're there, he should be able to resupply you a little bit. I've also got this. And he pulls out a pouch from his side and hands it to you. Says, things have been a little easier this last few months here. I've got a little bit of surplus. Now, it would make me feel a lot safer if you boys had a little bit of coinage wherever you were headed.
Sheriff, I can't take your money.
Take it. Not gonna do me any good here now. I've got shit to deal with. And you got a road ahead of you. This is much better in your hands than it ever be in mine. Plus, I need to see you back here. Brandywine, if you don't come back to Brandywine, you know what that means for me.
Yeah, I suppose she won't be very happy with you either.
By the way.
All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff. I'll take the pouch, and you know I'll be back as soon as I can.
Absolutely. Now, you guys be careful on the road there. Don't take any unnecessary risks. And your wife, she loves you, Stenson. She tells you to come back safe now. And no hero business, which he kind of smiles to himself. This is, I'd say that's already gone out the window personally, but it appears you and Brandywine have a different definition of what hero business is.
Well, Sheriff, I wouldn't dream of getting involved in any hero business. Just trying to do the right thing.
I know. All right, well, you boys ride fast now and keep your heads low. We'll keep our ears to the ground for any word from you. And we'll just pray that you get delivered back home safe.
You'll do, Sheriff, and you keep that town safe till I got back.
Baga save us.
You Baga save us.
Right, he tips his hat again. All right, don't look back now. Yep. He spurs his horse, and off he goes back to Thomas.
All right, I tip my headless hat at him and get up on Mr. Darcy and get Riv on there too. And yep.
Off you guys.
And start going away.
Mr. Darcy heads off into a gallop. And you guys push away from Tumps towards a settlement that you haven't actually been to in your life, even though it's just a few days ahead.
Would I know the name of the settlement?
Would indeed. It's called Addenlade.
Addenlade. And would I know much about this place?
It's a small... somewhere between a thorp and a village. So maybe a good 150 folk actually in town. If you include the surrounding area, you've got somewhere around 300 or 400 people. So nothing too big. But it's a bit of a trade town. So between this town and then the nearest coastal town, Tumps and the coastal town are both fairly high players population-wise. Addenlade serves as a bit of like a respite place. So if you were to take grain from here to the coast, to the port town, to be shipped away, you would probably rest in Addenlade and get your horse fed there and just kind of tune everything up. It's a nice sort of halfway point.
So
it does attract a lot of transients.
Right, so me coming through there, it won't be too suspicious in any way, then.
Well, you guys should be fine there, and you're hoping that if you can take care of this leg, that it'll look a little better by the time you guys arrive, but all in due time.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start pushing north with Riv and Mr. Darcy to get to Adelaide as sneakily and as fast as possible.
Sounds good. All right, you guys are going to press hard. Let's take a look here. And actually, I think that's not a bad place to start wrapping up.
Sounds good to me.